You are now listening to the Invited Podcast with Cedric Harris and Tia McClain. You've officially been invited.
You are listening to another episode of the Invited Podcast. This week we feature Devin Gillespie, who is a high school teacher, head varsity wrestling, and varsity defensive line coach. Devin is joining us here from Dallas, Texas, live by way of St. Louis, Missouri. He holds a bachelor's degree in communication from Truman State, where he also had a stellar football career. Not only is Devin well-versed in the world of sports, but he is also an Airbnb host and real estate investor. We are so excited to learn more about Devin and his role as a teacher, a coach, a mentor to the community's youth, but also about his entrepreneurial spirit and business endeavors. So Devin, thank you so much for joining us.
Appreciate y'all having me, man. Y'all make me sound impressive. I appreciate that, though.
You are.
Thank you.
Of course.
It's good to finally be on here, though. I've been a fan of the show, though, for real, for real. Like,
hey, we appreciate
y'all had a good first season, man. I'm blessed. You know, I'm blessed.
Hey, man, you part of it. So this just the beginning. So we're gonna have to get you back on once we at the top. Once everybody at the top. You know
there
what I mean?
Go.
So
there we go.
The listeners can't see my face, but I'm like, I'm very happy to like hear that. But to get us started, so since you are a listener, we always start by having our guests kind of give us some more background. So tell us more about you and your role and just like what you do currently.
Yeah, so like y'all said, born and raised St. Louis, you know, went to Hazelwood Central, you know, everybody got to tell you the high school
they
went to if that's the city you're from. But yeah, so graduated from Central. You know, got a scholarship to play college ball at Truman State. Played there for 5 years, was captain of the team, did some good things. And then from there, graduated, came home for a little bit. Didn't really know which direction I wanted to go. You know, just kind of wanted to fill it out. Didn't want to do anything I didn't like to do. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was like I did a marketing job, honestly, for about 4 days. And then I was like, I quit.
Four days?
Honestly, what was bad about it? What was bad about it?
Everything. Like, it was just a matter of, it was what I was selling, and it was where I was selling. So, okay, long story short, y'all been to Sam's Club, right? you know the, like, little booths that be off to the side? And,
yeah.
You know, people just sell the most randomest things.
Yep.
Yeah, that was me.
Ooh.
And I wasn't with it, you know what I mean? And it wasn't just because I think partially it was because I was scared to sell, but it was partially other because nobody wants this product. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't buy this product. So I wouldn't, you know, just off the strength of that, like, I don't want to sell this to myself.
Right.
So just off the strength of that, it was like, yeah, this really ain't for me. So I wanted to just feel like I can go back to what I know.
Mm-hmm.
And that was sports, you know. And lo and behold, I got a call from my college head coach, who basically had a network out, you know, somebody hit him up in Kansas City and was like, yo, we're looking for coaches. You know, do you know of anybody that could fill in this spot? And he thought of me and called me up from St. Louis. And I was like, I'll be there, you know, and that's how my coaching career started. So I moved to Kansas City that summer, was coaching there for three years, 2016, 17, 18. So I was 2 years. And then so when I was there, I was coaching, but I wasn't an actual teacher yet.
Okay.
And so pretty much that whole program to try to get into the classroom faster and get certified as a teacher, it's much harder where we're from.
Mm-hmm.
Than here in Texas. So basically went through, for those, I mean, it's educators, I'm sure they're gonna hear this, but it's the alternative certification program.
Yeah.
So I went through one of those programs, you know, got hired that spring, my second spring in Kansas City, moved down that summer, and man, it's been taking off ever since. You know, I was a first year head coach, which was like, I thought that was big.
Yeah,
you know, I thought that was just like, I don't know what I'm about, you know. But I reached out to a lot of my resources, you know what I'm saying? Jay Smith, you know, that was definitely a big part of it. He actually came down and helped our program. But it's gotten off the ground a lot. The wrestling team we've had, I've been there 3 years. We've been to the state tournament 3 times.
Okay.
I've had two wrestlers finish top 5 in the state you know, second largest state in the country. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's been good.
That's cool. So, that's cool. We love to see it, honestly.
Definitely, man.
And so, since you talk about both football, wrestling, when did both of those sports come into your life? And which one do you prefer?
Well, they both came in high school. So I played both. I played football all, you know, throughout my life. I started at 7. And then I didn't really get introduced to wrestling until late middle school, early high school. But at first, I wasn't really trying to do it. I was like, oh, you got to work what? And you got to do what? I'm not trying to do that. But the people that were in it, you know, it was football players that came over from football into wrestling. And, you know, it was his own small, tight-knit community. It's a way of, you know, you kind of knowing who you are instead of a jersey number, you mm-hmm. know. So it was a more individual type of culture. Yeah. And I, you know, I kind of like that. And then, you know, when you win, you win, and when you lose, you lose. So it yeah. was, you know, it's definitely more accountability when it came to it, and all those things I enjoyed. And just contact sports in general, that was just, it was a release for me, you know. It was something for me to just be able to take my mind off whatever. So mm-hmm. that's what I gravitated towards. And so I enjoyed it, you know, but then it came a time to where, you know, obviously people hear about cutting weight and wrestling and, you know, having to do all these different kind of things. And I didn't really have to go that extreme into it, but it was like, long story short, I had to cut for wrestling and then I had to gain for football. So I had to choose. So I'm like, yeah, I like to eat. So I'm gonna go ahead. But it worked out. Okay. It worked out.
So you went to Hazelwood Central, the Hazelwood Central.
The Hazelwood Central.
And for those that don't know, all of us went to the same high school. Mm-hmm. So we all went to the same high school, somehow all ended up in Dallas. And so
we
in
need
high
a documentary.
School. You said what?
We need a documentary.
No,
we
for
really,
real.
We really do.
Especially a documentary about you went to state 3 years in high school, mm-hmm. won 2 out of 3, arguably should have won 3. I don't know if you want to get into that. I don't know if it's still a sore spot or not.
It's been a while, so nah, it ain't that soft. But yeah, that's a fact.
But what, like, lessons or things that you can experience that you can draw on from then do you still kind of rely on today or kind of use as a resource today and during that period of time in your life?
Oh, I'm a winner. Period.
Simple as that.
Like, I like it.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't settle for anything less than what I understand and what I've been groomed to be like. That's what the expectation is. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, on the coaching end of it, it's definitely a different lens. And it's a different, you have control, but it's mm-hmm. not as much control as you really think or you would want. But definitely, you know, experiencing any kind of success and you're going to gravitate to it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like it's a feeling that you definitely want to continue to feel and you want others to feel. And that's why I do what I do. You know, I love my job. It's just a matter of that's what's coming from it. You know, that feeling that we had, I want y'all to feel like that, you know what I mean? Because like, nobody that I know of, you know, I've still, you know, walked through a number of lands now, but yeah. And nobody else has been able to say that they've been a state multiple times, let alone once.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? So, and I don't hang my hat on just being a high school state champion. I don't wear my rings or nothing like that, but it's just like, I'm a winner.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean? So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
I feel that. Okay, so I work in education, so I'm always interested in that. So tell me more about, like, your academic journey and how that plays a role in, like, what you do now. So I know you started with the marketing job, but that wasn't for you. Like, what did you envision your career looking like?
Sports management. Yeah, I wanted to work with athletes. Like, yeah. You know, I wanted to represent athletes. So basically at Truman, though, the only way that you were able to do some type of sports management was to do major in exercise science mm-hmm. and then go into like maybe a coaching minor or something like mm-hmm. that. But my least favorite subject is and was science.
That'll
so
do.
That didn't really work out too well.
Yeah.
You know? So after my first year, that was done, you know. So I switched to communication, which I do still use because I handle a lot of the, you know, the like our tweets and a lot of the websites and stuff we do for football and wrestling.
Okay.
So that's how I'm able to still use, like, because I was the sports editor of the school news, the the school newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, like just that print writing experience helped me, you know, do what I do for our kids. So. Okay.
And so, like, what influenced that decision for you to choose Truman? Because I feel like a lot of people choose colleges for different reasons, location, that's where my friend's going, whatever the case may be. But as, like, a student athlete, I feel like it's a little more nuanced and you have a few more decisions to make. What kind of influenced your decision to go there? And were there any other options you were looking at as far as being a student athlete at the collegiate level?
Nothing seriously. I, in a way, I kind of wanted who wanted me. Basically, we had a teacher at Hazelwood Central who had a nephew who was coaching at Truman.
Okay.
Right? So, obviously, the nephew hit the uncle up and was like, you know, you got any kids that we could possibly be looking to recruit? And he threw my name in there. And then, you know, I had the grades. I had the ACT. You know, I was just out of position. That's what I was getting to. So, playing football in high school, I was definitely out of position, right? I was super undersized. I don't know if y'all remember that. But I was, like, I was playing a position that's usually, like, they average about 250, 260 pounds, right? I was playing it at 180, 190.
I was like, what is out of position? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I was I was small playing a larger guy's position, right?
Gotcha.
But I was doing it, and mm-hmm. I was doing it well. You know, I was, you know, I got some accolades for it, but it was still, like, that's not what you need to be playing.
Yeah.
You know? So once they saw that and understood it, and, you know, they worked with me my first year. I redshirted, which basically, you know, I took a year off as far as not, I was on the team, but I wasn't on the act, like, I didn't dress for the game. I didn't travel for the games.
Yeah.
I just stayed and, you know, developed my skills and my body and all that for the first year. And then my second year of college was my freshman year on the football field.
Okay.
So that's how the 5 years kind of panned out. And it was free. So that helped.
Your entire time there was covered?
Yeah, I don't have student debt.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay, so no, this is our third person, I think. No student debt. Mm-hmm.
It's a wave.
It is. I'm trying to get on that wave too.
Hey, look, that Mizzou cost. Mizzou cost.
That's fact.
It definitely did.
We was an hour and a half away though, so I definitely made sure I
pulled up.
Okay, yeah. So he was down there partying.
Definitely. Oh yeah, yeah, for the free.
That was actually that kind of leads me into my next question. So, thinking about life as a student athlete versus a non-student athlete, what were some of those differences that maybe you noticed from your friends and things you had to do? Like, what was life like? So you did still have time to go party, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, in the off season.
Okay.
Well, yeah, in the off season mainly. I mean, you know, kids are kids. College is college. Mm-hmm. You know, you find time, you make time for it. But at the same time, when you're in season, you know, you're just under a stringent schedule. You know, it's you know, everything else revolves around what's going on in football and what your class schedule is. So,
right.
You know, if you want to stay at it, you know. So, that was really the main thing. Like, once camp came around, nothing was going on other than football. You know, that was literally, like, once you wake up to once you take a nap.
Live, eat,
once
breathe.
You get back up to once you go to sleep to, you know, for about 8, 9, 10 days strong, you Ooh. Know. So, that's just kind of what it is. But then, you know, football in Missouri, they don't have spring ball, right? They don't have spring practice, I guess.
Okay.
So they don't, you know, in the March, April, May months, they don't have organized practice. But in Texas, they do. You're able to do that in high school. So that was just kind of a shift for me because, like, you have a whole spring game, and, you know, that's when you kind of set the depth or set where you stand on the team for the fall.
Okay.
That's how that works. You know, okay. So they're able to do that in the high school level here, but that's how every college does it, basically, you know, if they can anyway. So, yeah, that's really the biggest thing between the athlete and a non-athlete. I'm sure the course load, like, you're able to take more courses. So was it like this at Mizzou? You basically, the minimum to be a full-time student was 12 hours?
Yeah.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
And then what was the maximum y'all could take?
18? I don't think that was a max. No, I took I think I was in 20 at one time.
20? You're crazy.
Only because, no, I didn't want to be.
Wow.
I was finishing up an online course, which I guess made my hours go up there.
The most I took one semester was 18, and I felt like I was dying, so.
Man, most I've taken was 15 in a semester, but it was like.
And they don't tell you when you come in that you aren't supposed to take 12. They say this is what makes you a full-time student. Because if you know, if you were to take 12, you would be there, 6 years at minimum? Mm. So yeah, you got to have some good advisors to help you understand the process, especially as a first-generation college student.
Oh yeah.
Who doesn't know anything about school. So definitely makes sense.
Do you think a student athlete should get paid? I know that's been in the news a lot lately. And most people are swaying one way or the other. You know, the NCAA is notorious for being them. But what are your thoughts on that athletes getting paid?
All I'm going to say is congratulations.
Simple as that.
What do you think?
Congratulations.
It was crazy because, like, in high school, before I knew how the NCAA was and before I even went to college, I was like, why do they need to get paid? They have a full scholarship.
Oh.
They're going to school for free. They get free food, free gear, and they get to do what they love. Like, why should they get paid? But, you know, being older now in a different perspective, I think they should be because of these corporations, this entity.
Yes.
Profiting off of them, but them not being able to make any money off of themselves.
And how much they're profiting off of them.
And that's facts.
It's ridiculous.
And a lot of them get, like, they can be deemed ineligible if they make money for themselves. Off their own jerseys, things like that, or someone even gives them like money to get food that can be used. What? That can be seen sometimes as a violation, things like that.
Yeah.
So
and you're risking your body and your health for the entertainment of other people, and they getting paid off of your back. So I'm all for it.
Get your money.
You can make money off social media. So it's like, if the NCAA is not going to pay them to, you know, for their name, they can get paid off their name. Off their phone.
Yeah.
So.
That's true. But you said that could be like them in like violation, or if they were to get caught.
Yeah. Previously, legislators is starting to change a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I know I've read stories where people were like tutoring other students and making money off of it. But you're not allowed to like make money in certain situations. God. Things like that. It's just like
been off of like followers, though.
Oh.
Like, just even off of a following. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Because I mean, I don't know algorithms like that, but you know. Simply put, is that how it? That's how it works, right?
Yeah.
If you start getting ads and stuff, you're going to be getting paid type of thing.
I mean, and I think to that point, that's when it kind of gets a little foggy with the NCAA. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, for sure.
Ooh-wee, life as an athlete.
It's better now. Congratulations.
Let's talk about the elephant in the room. So, COVID. Let's talk about COVID. And so, how has that, if it did, have an impact on you as a teacher, as a coach, just your career as a whole in the last couple of years?
This past year was tough. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, just simply put, you know, having to teach virtually and in person.
Wild.
Was tough. You know?
Wild.
So did you have like a classroom, like it was half, like at the same time it was people in the classroom,
hybrid.
People virtual?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of nuts.
It's hard.
Yeah. Some school districts have it to where like it's a person that solely teaches virtually and there's a teacher that solely teaches in person. But, you know, we didn't have that. So we just kind of had to pick up the slack and just, you know, I tried to make things as easy as I could on myself. You know, definitely a lot of athletic programs suffered, you know, just around the country.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting kids back who haven't worked out in who knows how long, you know. Quarantine has just been a lot, you know, not even just for us, but for kids. And, you know, the school year coming back this year to quote-unquote normal, you know, what we're used to as far as all kids coming back to school, you know, that's definitely going to change the dynamic too. Because how would y'all feel if y'all been sitting at the crib for the last 10 months and
doing
then somebody
tell
you got to come back to school, right? You know,
yeah.
That will make you feel some type of way. So, and I think this will help. That'll always help me as a teacher because I put myself in their shoes, you know, to try to be like, okay, well, grace, you know,
for sure.
But COVID wasn't
was
easy.
Real.
COVID wasn't easy.
No, I feel for teachers like so much. I was doing a hybrid presentation, and it's just so difficult to focus on the human being sitting in front of you, but you are looking at Zoom and talking to them too, and trying to get answers from. It's not easy. So I'm happy for, you know, the students being able to come back to the classroom and be in person for most school districts.
Yeah.
I know ours is going to be 100% back in person. So
it's going to be, you know, it's going to be an adjustment.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to be an adjustment for them, for us, for everybody, you know. And that was another thing about COVID too, because sports was taken away from everybody.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, there was no professional sports. There were no college sports. No high school sports, you know. So if you were a coach, or if you were, you know, if sports was what you lived and, you know, what a lot of your day consisted of, you had to find something else to do, you know. So
how'd you occupy your time when the season shut down?
That's a great transition.
That's a great question.
That's a great transition. You know, I studied, you know, I learned the stock market. Ooh. I learned the real estate, you know, I learned like a lot, you know. I read a lot. I watched a lot of videos, and I just educated myself. You know, financial literacy. That's what I studied. You know what I'm saying? I just tried to learn and try to pick a strategy to where I can be comfortable in it, and, you know, just try to figure out a way to just do something better and different and. Yeah, that's what I worked on.
And so a lot of people talk about it, right? Like, wanting to know more, wanting to learn about things, and a lot of people don't. But then even those that, like, you know, do the research, do the knowledge, a lot of them don't take action. But you took action, and you're now an Airbnb host, right? So talk to us about your jump into real estate, that process, and how that kind of got started.
Okay, so basically, through all the education, you know, I looked to try, I got all my finances in order, you know, to a sense to where I could buy my own house, right? So I knew from the jump that I didn't want just, you know, a single family, like, you know, something that I just wanted to live in and, you know, raise a family and all that kind of stuff. No, I knew I didn't want to do that. I initially wanted a multifamily, right? Because that's what's sexy right now. Everybody wants to have, like, I want to get that FHA loan. I want to get a multifamily, right? Live in one side and rent out the other. Everybody's saying it right now, right? But that's a good plan. But there's also aspects to where you can get a single family with a guest house, or, you know, a guest quarters, or another living unit. It's called an ADU, right? An additional dwelling unit. And so that's what I found, right? To try to basically, you know, accomplish that same goal, but in another form. So I bought a single family residence with an additional dwelling unit, and then so I rented one side out to someone I knew who was coming to the Dallas area. You know, they were looking for somewhere to stay, and so, you know, I put them in as a tenant, and then in the other part I Airbnb it out. You know, so I just short-term rent one side, and then I long-term rent the other.
I have so many questions. My first one is, what does the ADU look like?
Okay, just imagine, I know we're talking voices right now, right? Let's say you're looking on the side of the house, right? On the left side is the main house. In the middle, standing in front of you, is the garage. Mm-hmm. And then on the right side is the ADU.
Okay.
Right? So the only thing that you share is the space in the garage, right? You have your own door, your own private entry, your own fridge, your own kitchen, right? Everything. And then there's a whole separate house that has their own everything,
right?
So you don't have to go into the main spot for anything. You just need to open and close the garage.
I'm envisioning the, like, guest house on Fresh Prince. Oh, man. The little pool house.
Nah, I'm sure that was a walkway and everything back there. You had to walk a little ways, but it's connected through the garage.
Got you.
Yeah, that's the simplest way to try to envision the spot.
I'm following you. Okay, so more questions about investing and starting your own Airbnb. So I want to give our listeners something like tangible. So if someone is on that same path, what would be a first step? And what's a tip? Like what's a tip that you would give for them to start saving?
Okay, if they're starting on it now, I would say just get your finances in order. You know, if you haven't created a budget, if you haven't, you know, created something to where you can feel like you can actually do it, you know, I pretty much used the quarantine because I was like, what am I about to go and what we about to go eat dinner outside for what?
Exactly.
You know? So I use that as discipline, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? But that's really what it came down to. It was just discipline to stay to my budget and, you know, just understanding what those numbers are and, you know, really know what you want, you mm-hmm. know, when you go in. Because at that point, there's nobody that's going to be able to stop you from getting it. But just know exactly what you want. And as far as saving, it just really comes down to, you know, discipline. You know, if some people are more wanting to, you know, spend on certain things or just buy certain things. And that's cool, but it's room in all of our budgets for us to cut out something.
On something, yeah.
You know what I mean? So just find out what that thing is for you. And it ain't got to be forever. You know what I mean? If it's a temporary sacrifice for a long-term gain, you know what I mean? You really got to look at it like that. You know, if that's hard for you, then you're thinking too short. You're thinking too small. Mm-hmm. So, it's just, you just got to think long term with it.
Quarantine definitely showed me that I could sacrifice on a lot of things. I think I saved at least $600 a month mm-hmm. and we were staying like indoors. So mm-hmm. I just second that.
Oh yeah. And as far as teachers, that helped too. So you're an educator, mm-hmm. right? Any educator that's looking at, definitely look into down payment assistance programs.
Oh.
You know, it's definitely too many avenues down here. Really anywhere, wherever you are, is down payment assistance program for teachers, like whatever state. So definitely get your research on and just figure out which one's the best for you and just go from there.
So. Okay. Well, that's new for me. So I'm going to definitely be doing some research.
Did you happen to get in before this crazy market is going on right now? Or like, was it kind of in the middle of this thing that we're seeing with the housing market?
Right before it.
Okay. That's the research. You got to set the foundation. Say, hey, I know what I'm getting before it gets hot. So I feel that. Have you had any Airbnb like horror story, like any horror tenants yet?
No.
knocking on wood.
Not. You know, so it's really been good. You know, and I reached out to a good amount of people as far as like, you know, just tips on being a good host and, mm-hmm. you know, what do I need? What do I not need? What do they like? You know, and we've all stayed in Airbnb. So it was like, all right, mine gonna have this, right?
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to have some personal flips on it too. But, you know, just generally, you know what people like. And generally, people are good. You know, you just gotta have, you know, set ground rules and, you know, let it go from there.
Mm-hmm.
No horror stories yet. I'm not
good.
So in both your roles as an educator and coach, and then also in the real estate world, like what do you enjoy most about like what you do in both of those, and what's been like the most challenging?
I enjoy that every day is different. Every single day is different. Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't like going to a job where I know exactly what is about to happen. You know, every day, or, you know, even just things come up in anything, but, you know, even in real estate, it's just, you know, it's one thing after another, and it's constantly trying to find that next, that, right? So, mm-hmm. That's what I enjoy the most about it, for sure. Challenges, it just depends, like, you know, as far as a teacher, it's those days when, you know, kids don't really want to be there,
mm-hmm.
you know, you probably running off of however X amount of hours of sleep, you know, and it's just kind of one of those days, but that those are the ones you kind of just got to push through and, you know, you enjoy those days. But so I've tried to find ways to be like, make my challenges my strengths though, or at least, you know, make them more enjoyable. So that's why I had to think about it, because I really don't think about them.
Right.
If that's all about perspective. All.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, if anybody's an educator, you heard something negative every day you go to school, whether it's from a student, another teacher, whatever, you know? So it's too many negative things around you. Like, so why not just try to keep that out of your space?
Mm-hmm.
So I try to do that, you know? And for the most part, it works. But challenges all around us, man. So
for sure.
And one last question before we jump into like our little segment where we learn more about you. So our last question would be, how do you want to grow in your career and with just real estate and investing?
I definitely want to get, I want to have a state champion for sure.
Okay.
State wrestling champion. Like, it's got to happen. And I really want to grow my community in the wrestling field, because I feel like it's a blank canvas. You know what I mean? So for me to even just put any kind of color on it would be like a big accomplishment. You know, I definitely want to have some kids go on and play at the next level, you know, whether they're champions or not, you know, and just to be able to come back and be like, I appreciate what you did for me, coach. You know what I'm saying? Or even to be like, you know, I'm going to come try to coach with you.
Yeah.
You know, I've already gotten offers. But, no, I definitely think that's just what I want to see. I want to continue to see kids grow and learn and feel like they just took something from me. You know, they don't even know too much about the investment side. But
that's just,
you know, that they got enough to learn from sports.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely that's the biggest thing.
I just had a quick question too, since we're about to go into the seasons, school's about to start. What are your teams looking like? Are y'all looking good this year?
Of course we are. You know, no, but and our football team is coming into a lot of good things. You know, we've got a new head coach who's, man, he's been doing great things since he came in on March 8th. You know, he came to us from McKinney High School, which is, you know, McKinney ISD in general is just, you know, that's a good program out there. But he's doing good things, and, you know, we've got some returners that are getting some attention. You know, we've got new coaches coming in from all over the South, and we're coming off a 5-4 COVID season, so, you know, even – through some forfeits and through some, you know, some positives, you know, we still are able to continue to do what we do. So I'm excited about that. Wrestling wise, we've got a returning state placer, you know, coming back for his senior year. We just graduated. Our heavyweight, who took third in the state, you know, so he's going on to look to wrestle at the next level. So. It's just, you know, it's still a matter of growing, you know, just coming out of COVID. So we'll have to recruit out of the cafeteria this year a little bit for both of them. But, you know, we've definitely built a good foundation in both. And, you know, I'm looking to continue to build them from there. So I'm excited. It's about to be a good year.
There we go.
So, yeah, we're about to hop into it. Just a quick hitter, some quick questions. You just give us a few of the first things that come to your mind. This is just a little opportunity for us to get to know you a little bit better outside of what you do, and also for the listener for sure. So since you are an athlete, multi-sport athlete, what's your Mount Rushmore of athletes, any sport?
Okay. Man, I'm a Rams fan. So of any sport, of any athlete?
Yeah, any athlete across all sports.
Anything, yeah.
Your top four. Or your favorite four, whatever, however you want to take it.
Okay. I'm going to go MJ.
Okay.
I'm gonna go Adrian Peterson.
Monster.
I'm trying to spread it across different sports. okay, we're gonna go my favorites then. Albert Pujols.
Okay.
Baseball. And Messi for soccer.
Okay.
I like the variety.
Yeah. And he gets paid a lot. So, I mean, got to be some type of good.
Yeah. Oh, wrestling. Okay. Let me put a wrestler on there. Mm-hmm. Jordan Burroughs for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Jordan Burroughs.
I'm not hip, but I'm like I believe you.
He's nice.
I believe you. So, we're going to do a little St. Louis versus Dallas since we've all lived in both places. All right. So, you just have to answer the city that has the best of this category. So, who has the best barbecue? They talk highly about the Texas barbecue down here.
Man, so Jay got the best barbecue in St. Louis now.
Okay.
I ain't never been.
That's my pop spot, man. Tell them I sent you.
Okay. Go ahead. Run the name back again so they can hear it again.
11701 New Hawes Ferry.
Okay.
All right.
There we go.
Yeah, you got a hole in the wall next to it. It's Bar and Grill. We call it the hole in the wall. So.
Okay.
Definitely. I like it.
That's pops.
Cool.
I'm definitely gonna check it out next time I'm at the crib. Chinese food.
Come on now.
that was an easy now.
St. Louis now.
So for those that don't know, people from St. Louis, including myself, speak mm-hmm. very highly of the Chinese food.
They will go to war about.
They say
Chinese
food. It has better Chinese food than China.
No, really, I have that. That is an argument.
No, it's just cooked a little differently. Seasoned a little differently.
It's a little browner.
A little bit.
No peas and carrots.
Yeah. So once you stop by the barbecue joint, mm-hmm. then you can just go get for lunch, go to get some barbecue in St. Louis when you're there. Mm-hmm. And then dinner, you get Chinese food, take your pick.
Whichever way floats your boat.
Who has the best dating scene?
Dating scene. I can't really say I like dated like that in St. Louis though.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
St. Louis is small. You know what I mean? It's like
very small.
You gotta look at people sometimes. You're like, who are your cousin? You gotta ask people family tree sometimes. So I would say Dallas for that reason.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. And then we're gonna switch gears a little bit.
Okay.
What's your most used non-social media app?
Most used non-social media app, Waterminder.
I'm about to say he was just telling us.
Go ahead, tell the listener what that is.
So basically, it gives me notifications on when I need to drink water. So that's the one I see the most. That's the one I, I'm just constantly seeing. So mm-hmm. Like reminder, Waterminder. Yeah.
Okay.
Makes sense, especially as a coach. Mm-hmm. So when Devin got here, we were talking about books.
Yeah.
So we have the Invited Podcast book list. So what's a book that had like a lasting impact on you that you would recommend to our listeners?
I've got a lot. The one I'm currently reading is called Atomic Habits by James Clear. Really good book. I mean, it's just, a self-help kind of just really gets you grounded as far as if you want to change something or if you want to do things better, mm-hmm. or just make better habits, do better things as far as on your daily lifestyle. Definitely pick it up. But yeah, even just as far as, when I got on the financial literacy, it was everybody wants to say a number of different books, but Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill was the one that stuck with me the most. Cash Flow Quadrant by Robert Kiyosaki.
Okay.
Principles by Ray Dalio. That's three good ones for sure.
I got a question. This is random. I've been asking people this lately. Are you an audiobook guy or a physical book guy?
Since lately, I've been an audiobook for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's lately. My new thing now.
Yes, because now I have like an actual commute to work. I hardly even listen to the radio anymore. Like music on the way to work, straight audiobook.
Podcast and audiobooks.
Audiobooks, probably, exactly. Yep.
I haven't got into the audiobooks yet. I like the physical, being able to read it. It is more time
when
consuming.
When you're jogging, do an audiobook. Just listen to an audiobook.
That's going to be my challenge.
Yes.
I'm gonna listen to an audiobook, and I'm going to let y'all know what it is and how the experience was for me at some point during this season. So
let us know.
Stay tuned.
We also talked about music. So when Devin got here, we talked about music. I know he mentioned Wayne. But if you could choose one album as the soundtrack to your life, what would it be?
Victory Lap. Nipsey Hussle.
That was quick and easy. Yeah. Okay, tell us more. Why?
Man.
That was a good album.
Texas off that album. Like,
yeah.
That was a good album.
Yeah. Like, that, I don't even really know what to say, you know, mm-hmm. what else about it, but yeah, Victory Lap, for sure.
Yeah.
Pick a favorite track off of it, or no? Impossible.
See, that's when you know it's a good album, mm-hmm. when you can't. Right? As far as lyrics, mm-hmm. I would probably say Loaded Bases. Just tracks himself. Like, I got my dad on Nipsey, so he loves the song. The last time that I checked,
yeah,
on my neck, yeah. So that's his song. So I say that's my favorite overall song, but mm-hmm. my favorite lyrics of the song would be Loaded Bases.
Yeah, I would say Double Up is like the perfect song. Like it's a song you can't skip. Like you're driving.
Yeah.
It's nighttime. You got the windows down.
Double Up is great.
You're on the highway.
Yeah.
And I like I'm not affiliated with any gang, anything like that. But just off the, you know, just the hustle, the grind, the, you know, I feel all of that just off the, you know, just my day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, definitely on that tip, Nipsey.
Mm-hmm. I feel it. And then if I were to pick my top, I think the whole, like most of the album is like a nighttime riding type album.
Yeah.
So Blue Laces too.
Mm-hmm.
And that was real big.
Yeah.
Yep.
Easy.
Man.
So we just got a couple more for you. Where can people learn more about you? Where they can find more about your team, about you personally, and about your properties, your Airbnb?
I'm on Instagram, you know, I raised the bar, past tense. You know, you can see my Airbnb, stay with Dev. That's like my new hashtag.
Okay.
You know, so hashtag stay with Dev. Link in bio, you know, all that type of stuff. You know, coaching wise, I'm on Twitter, _ Coach Gillespie. You know, you can follow the team, and then that's the links to all our, you know, all our different information. But yeah, for sure. That's the two main ways to get a hold of me.
We'll definitely tag you when we post the episode.
And then finally, if you had to give any sort of advice to someone who wants to, you know, hop into the real estate space or hop into just investing or being their own business owner, what advice would you give to that person and why?
The advice I would give you. Plan your work, work your plan.
You know, simple as that.
Definitely plan your work and work your plan. You know, it's a lot of plans that people can come out here and give you and offer you and, mm-hmm. you know, and a lot of them sound good, you know, but pick one that works for you and just keep doing it. You know, don't vert from it. Don't feel like, oh man, it ain't really working yet. Keep at it.
Yeah.
You know, that's really it. It sounds cliche as hell, but
it's true.
Like that's really what it is, you know. So plan your work your plan.
Cool. Well, Devin, we definitely appreciate it. It's been a pleasure.
It has been.
First person that said they came on as a fan, there's also a guest. So lots of firsts in here. We definitely appreciate it. Dropped a lot of gems in this conversation. Mm-hmm. Wish you the best of luck on your season and reaching your goals. And that's another episode of the Invited Podcast in the books. Appreciate you for joining us.
I appreciate y'all.